ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 15th of June, and welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. And I just hope we can stay on air for the full time, because again, we're having thunderstorms. And in case people don't know, we had a tornado about a mile and a half from my house yesterday.
You told me about this earlier, but I didn't even ask. Was it a big tornado? Was it a little tornado?
Well,
what was it?
Apparently, it really did a lot of damage to a trailer park.
They always hit trailer parks.
Regular trailer park. This is big double wide trailers that kind of look like houses. But apparently, it did a lot of damage there. It was on our local news and everything today.
Wow. They always hit trailer parks.
Florida, people don't know, it gets a lot of tornadoes.
Well, you do. I mean, you know, people hear about the ones, of course, like in Alabama or Georgia or Arkansas, you know, down in that southeastern, you know, region. Mississippi gets, you know, tornadoes, but Florida does too.
Right.
Kind of serves you right.
Yeah. So, hopefully it did a lot of thundering and lightning and storming about an hour ago, but it seems to have quieted down now.
Well, that's good. You know, having a tornado or two down there kind of serves you right for all the grief you give the rest of us during the winter. Hardy har, we live in Florida. Hardy, hardy har. Well, hardy har.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, as long as we don't get hit by a Cat 5 or something, I'm happy.
You know, what you guys call a tornado down there, we call a light breeze up here in Nebraska, so.
Right, they're not the same as your tornadoes, that's
you know,
for sure.
And we don't get them here the way they get them in other places either. I mean, Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, you know, that corridor, and up into Nebraska. You know, clear up here in the north central part of Nebraska, we don't see that much tornado activity, but we do get them every once in a while. You know what else we get up here in Nebraska? It seems like we're getting more of them recently, like, you know, over the last couple of years. Small earthquakes.
Really?
Yeah. I think there's been 3 or 4 in the northern part of Nebraska over the past, well, I want to say maybe 3 years, which is really unusual up here. Now, these aren't this isn't the big one, you know, like what they get in California. You know, right. These are pretty small on the Richter scale, but they get your attention because we just don't have stuff like that happens often enough up here to really be concerned about it. When it happens, people are like, what the hell was that? You know?
Get earthquakes here in Florida.
Well, no, you really don't, but you get hurricanes, so you got that, you know. But this goes back about 5, maybe 6 years ago. We'd been living in Arizona. We moved back to Nebraska, and I'm laying there in bed. It's probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, and it felt like somebody rammed their car into our house.
Wow.
And I was like, what the? Because it was just one big, you know, just boom. And what the hell was that? So I got up, I got dressed, I walked outside with a flashlight. I'm looking all around. I can't see a thing, you know, and nothing wrong. And I was like, what in the world was that? Because, I mean, it the whole house kind of bounced, you know. Turned out it was an earthquake centered about 20 miles away from Valentine. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it happens, you know. Every place, doesn't really matter where you live. You got some natural thing going on, you know, true, all the time. It's not just true, Nebraska and Florida. But, folks, welcome to the show tonight. We've got a couple of great segments coming up for you. A little bit later tonight, I'm doing a follow-up to the piece I did a week ago tonight on wokeism, and this one is Wokeism Dividing America. Okay, so yes, for people that caught the one a week ago on Tuesday night, this is the follow-up. Diane, you're talking about why no jab for me.
Yes, and after I'm finished, I have some more news that I got this afternoon that's going to shock people.
Well, and you told me what that news is. We're not going to get into it right now. But when we get to that, when you're done with that segment and we're doing the discussion on that, I've got some questions regarding the news that you got this afternoon on it. So, you know, we'll get to all that in due time. But instead of quick hitters tonight, folks, we're talking about Dementia Joe at the G7. And, Diane, I got to tell you, this entire G7 thing, Joe Biden's presence there is, at the very best, embarrassing.
It's quite sad and beyond embarrassing, because this man is obviously not well. He is not mentally well. He is suffering, clearly suffering from either early Alzheimer's or dementia, or he's got clogged carotid artery, something. I mean, it is clear to anyone who has watched how he walks, the expressions on his face, how he's talking, how he's stumbling over words, that this man is not well. And you know what? The fault lies with his wife for allowing this to continue.
It really does. And, you know, you mentioned how he walks, so let's start there. Last week, he was at some function. It was outdoors. There's kind of a covered deck area, pretty large deck area, and he's out there. And he's walking through. There's people sitting at tables, I'm guessing, reporters. Okay, and this is at the G7 thing. He's walking across this deck. Somebody's shooting video. He's not really walking, per se. It's more of a halting shuffle. Now, if you don't know what that is, if you go to any retirement home, assisted care facility, and you see somebody in their maybe 80s or 90s, he's not really picking up his feet. He's just kind of shuffling his feet and halting as he does it. And it's, I mean, you know, this does not look like a vital person walking across this deck.
No, it's also a symptom of Parkinson's disease.
It is. Now, as he's walking, somebody on the deck kind of shouts out to him, How's the summit going? Right? And he stops, and instead of just turning his head to see who said it, he has to turn his whole body. Okay, that's another, you know, red flag.
And that's another Parkinson's symptom as well. Yep, the reason I know this is because my mother had Parkinson's and she passed from it. And over the years, you could see what happened. Joe Biden is showing a lot of those symptoms. Well, doesn't mean he has Parkinson's. No, there are other conditions that can mimic it, but it shows he is clearly not well. Jill Biden is writing his speeches for him, writing his notes for him. In other words, this woman that no one elected is actually running the country.
Well, when he's asked the question and he finally figures out who asked him, he's it's fine. It's going fine. Well, at about that time, here comes Jill Biden literally running up onto this deck, motioning for him, come, and she takes his arm and leads him away. Under no circumstances is Joe Biden to answer anybody's questions, even if it's, how's your day?
Exactly. I mean, this is ridiculous. He doesn't even remember. In fact, Boris Johnson called him out on this about introducing the president of South Africa at the G7 summit. He'd already done it. He didn't remember he did it and was arguing at the summit with Johnson. He didn't do it. I didn't introduce him. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I mean, this is childish actions. This is forgetfulness, which is a classic symptom of Alzheimer's and dementia. This is sad. This is the man that's making our country a laughingstock on the world stage, and he doesn't even know he's doing it.
And the G7 is the world stage, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, and he's there, and like I said, at best, it's embarrassing. At worst, he's got the cognitive capability of a cabbage.
And you say it's on the world stage, but here's another analogy. They're doing all their formal pictures, you know, social distancing. And then as soon as the pictures are over, they're running to the bar or the restaurant, and they're all huddled together with no masks and no social distancing.
Yeah, there's been several of those photos in different places at this G7 summit. And, yeah, they're all, you know, at least 6 feet, maybe 10 feet apart. Mm-hmm. You know, every world leader that's there, and they all stand there, and they're, you know, and when they meet each other at one of those photo op things, they all make a big show, and I mean a big show. It's not a casual thing. They make a big show of leaning in and bumping elbows instead of shaking hands, right? Because you got to be, you know, COVID aware, right? And then, like you said, they get done with the photo op, and 20, 30 minutes later, they're at a social function, and they're all shoulder to shoulder and elbow to elbow and just getting along great and slapping each other on the back. And, you know, I mean, so you got your photo op moment, that's for the press, and then don't they realize that there are elements of the press there filming and photographing the social functions too?
You know what? I don't think they care.
Then
I really
why
don't
go
think
to-
they care. I mean, Biden also committed a very bad faux pas just yesterday. Here it is. The G7 is supposed to work out problems. You know, bolster NATO and all good things.
Right.
Instead, Biden used it yesterday as a platform to rip the Republican Party.
You know, there again, you know, he shouldn't be let out of the basement. I mean, you know, it makes you wonder, and I don't say this flippantly, it makes you wonder if he even realizes where he is.
I honestly don't know. And it's very sad. Forget that it's making a mockery of our country. Even if you just put that aside, his family allowing this to go on, I'm sorry, that's elderly abuse.
I can understand that. Yeah, I mean, it's a little hard to argue with that. But, you know, he's serving a function. He is a puppet for Obama for the moment.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
And, you know, it's only a matter of time before Nancy Pelosi, Amendment 25, him, and then we've got Kamala Harris, which is not really Kamala Harris. We'll have Obama as a daily visitor to the White House. This has been all planned all along. Biden was picked because they knew he'd only be temporary.
Yeah, this is getting ridiculous. Now, I've got some audio. I've got a couple of pieces of audio here. Biden did a sit-down interview with the press a couple of days ago, and in that interview, he was asked his opinion of Vladimir Putin. Now, Putin had also done a sit-down interview, and when asked about his opinion regarding the difference between Trump and Biden, Putin said, you know, called Trump an extraordinary person, spoke of him quite highly. When he got to Biden, he called Biden a career guy, which is true. You know, Biden is a career guy.
Because 47 years and he accomplished nothing.
Nothing. So they get Biden in a one-on-one sit-down interview, and they ask him about Putin. Now, apparently some time ago, Biden referred, to Putin as a killer. Mm-hmm. And so the reporter asked him again, you know, do you stand by that? And in the sit-down interview, he did. He did stand by it. So then, in front of the press, sitting at a podium, he's asked again about it. Now, you're going to think that I'm hitting the pause button when I play this. You're going to think I'm hitting the pause button in the middle of this. I assure you, I am not. This is Biden having no idea how to answer the question. And as he's standing there in dead silence, he's got that thousand-mile stare in his eyes.
It's like nobody's home.
It is. So, folks, listen to this. You'll hear him kind of tripping over words, searching for something to say. You'll hear several seconds of just dead air, and that's him just literally staring off into space. Take a listen.
We could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya. We should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. I think I'm going to try very much hard to. And by the way, there's places where I shouldn't be starting off and negotiating in public here, but let me say it this way. Russia has engaged in activities which we believe are contrary to international norms, but they have also bitten off some real problems they're going to have trouble chewing on. And, for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, they're there. And as long as they're there without the ability to bring about some order in the region, and you can't do that very well without providing for the basic economic needs of people. So I'm hopeful that we can find...
Okay, that wasn't the clip I intended to play there, but this is where Joe Biden is talking about Syria, except that he keeps calling it Libya.
Right.
Okay, all the way through this, Diane, he's calling it Libya. It's not Libya. It's Syria.
Right.
So here you go, on the world stage, all right, he's talking about a serious situation in the Middle East. He doesn't even know what country is involved.
And that's pretty bad.
That's horrible. Now,
yes.
here's the clip I was talking about earlier where he goes into dead air. This is him. This is Biden talking about whether or not Putin is a killer. Here it is.
In a weekend interview, Vladimir Putin laughed at the suggestion that you had called him a killer. Is that still your belief, sir, that he is a killer?
Answer the first question. I'm laughing too. They actually, well, look, I mean, he has made clear that uh, The answer is, I believe he has in the past essentially acknowledged that he was, there are certain things that he would do or did do. But look, when I was asked that question on air, I answered it honestly. But it's not much of a, I don't think it matters a whole lot in terms of this next meeting we're about to have. I'm hoping that that President Putin concludes that there is some interest in terms of his own interest in changing the perception that the world has of him in terms of whether or not.
Okay, so you think I'm pausing that, but I'm not. That was dead air courtesy of Joe Biden.
Yeah, just one of his many pauses, but it's not a deliberate pause. It's part of dementia. You lose your train of thought. Your thinking just doesn't work. And even if you're thinking something, you can't get the words out.
Well, and throughout a lot of that answer, he's looking at note cards on the podium, and I swear he has no idea what those note cards say, because he's looking right at them, and he can't even formulate a word.
Exactly. The connections in the brain aren't there anymore. And we're not making fun of dementia by any means. We're trying to tell everyone how serious it is. And if someone is in the throes of dementia, they have no business being president of the United States. You know, you have to think, yes, Ronald Reagan, you know, said his farewells to the world when his Alzheimer's got very advanced. And I'll never forget that day when it was announced that he had passed due to Alzheimer's. But he knew when to step back from public life. He wrote that eloquent letter saying, you know, it's time for me to retire, whatever. I don't remember the exact words. But he knew when it was time for him to go. Biden doesn't know it because Biden doesn't even know what time it is. But his family does. And his family is allowing this to go on.
Well,
to me is a bigger crime than Biden himself.
I theorize the reason they're allowing it to go on the way they are is because Biden is nothing now but a useful tool to the liberal socialist party. Okay, he's the puppet. Obama's pulling the strings. Biden's doing the song and dance, except he can't remember the words or the steps to the song and dance. It's all a dog and pony show. Obama's behind the curtain. For now, Obama is on center stage, on the world stage, and he's blowing it. Every time he's seen, every time he opens his mouth, he's blowing it. He's making America a laughingstock in the world.
Yes. And it's a shame. It's a shame how we have fallen because of an election stolen. And yes, the election was stolen. It's criminal, if you ask me.
It really is, you know. I'm going to throw this out there as an honest, open question. You had to guess, if you were going to pick a day in a pool, how long do you think it's going to be before they 25th Amendment Biden into oblivion?
Well, I'm going to answer it a little strange. Either by the end of the year, or Biden's going to pass by the end of the year due to certain infirmities. I don't think, well, I'm not going to say I don't think he will make it. I just got a feeling that he's sicker than people realize.
Well, let me take people back. If you go back to the beginning of the 2020 campaign, okay, and I mean before the primaries, right? You go back to the beginning of the campaign, and he still had some cognitive ability then. Okay, you listen to his speeches at the beginning of the campaign, and you listen to his speeches today. It is a night and day difference. Now, I'm not saying he was sharp as a tack at the beginning of the campaign. He wasn't. But he was in much better shape then. So this has been a pretty rapid decline.
Yes. That's the whole thing. It is a very rapid decline. And we're witnessing it. Our country is witnessing it. And nothing's being done to stop him.
Well, and I think it's a combination of things. I think, you know, like you said earlier, I think there's some Parkinson's that's probably involved in this. I think there's some dementia that's probably involved in this. And let me tell you, you know, you mentioned a couple of the warning signs, the red flags of Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. Another one of those red flags in Parkinson's is that you start to see things. You start to hallucinate.
Hallucinations, yes.
Yeah. And
that's usually in the latter stages of the disease.
Well, it is and it's not. And you almost wonder sometimes when he goes blank like he did in that thing, is he thinking he's somewhere else? Is he trying to figure out where he is? What's happening? You know, I mean, there's no way to tell what's going on between the ears and from the neck up on this guy.
No, there isn't. And it's, I cannot stand the man as president. He has done nothing for 47 years. He is dishonest. He's a liar. He's a puppet. And yet part of me feels sorry for him for what his family is putting him through. The man needs medical attention.
I mean, the biggest red flag in all of this is when they wouldn't allow him out of the basement during the campaign.
Right.
Months on end.
They were afraid what he was going to say. But you want to know something? They knew that he couldn't hold his own. They kept him there so they could get their little Dominion machines ready and everything ready.
Well, tomorrow's the big day. Tomorrow is when he meets with Putin. Now, there will be no joint press conference afterwards. Biden's people have taken care of that. They don't want him on the same stage with Vladimir Putin because they're afraid Putin's going to start asking Biden questions and really, really expose him to the world, even more so than he's done to himself.
Well, you know, what it boils down to is Putin's going to make mincemeat out of him. And I'm going to say something that I actually put up as a meme. Putin had nothing to do with the election fraud. The election fraud was committed by the Democrat hierarchy to get Joe Biden off in office to make sure Obama got his third term in office.
Exactly.
In other words, circumnavigating the Constitution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Putin's going to chew him up and spit him out tomorrow.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
I personally don't believe that Putin is as bad as people are making him out to be. He's a statist. People have to understand he is not a communist. He's a statist. In other words, he's trying to rebuild Mother Russia, not the Soviet Union. He's a big proponent of capitalism in his own statist way. He's not the enemy.
He's not the enemy that China is.
No, not by any means.
He's not the enemy that Islamic Jihad is.
No.
You know?
Not at all.
Is he something of an adversary? Yeah.
Adversary is different than an enemy.
Exactly. He's also an ally.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, Biden is in way over his head at this summit. He is going to be sunk deeper than the Titanic in this meeting with Putin tomorrow. That's
but they're
my
not gonna let
prediction.
They're not going to let out what's really happening. Craig, you and I are going to have to go into our overseas sources to find the news that's not going to be reported here in this country.
And we will do that. And
yes.
you can bet your bippy, because whatever your bippy is, you can bet it. That
yes.
Putin is not going to remain silent to save Joe Biden's ass.
No. No, he's no fan of Joe Biden. You know, one thing people have to understand. When Trump was president, the United States was respected. Putin respected Trump, and Trump respected Putin. It doesn't mean you can't be adversaries, but when you have a modicum of respect for someone, everything changes.
Yeah.
Putin has no respect for Biden.
And rightly so.
Who does?
And rightly so. Folks, we've made it to the bottom of the hour here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Diane's talking about why no jab for me. And about a half an hour from now, I'm talking about wokeism dividing America. Stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's the Tuesday night edition of the show, folks, and if you miss any part of it, all you got to do is go to RSPRadio1, that's the number 1.com, tomorrow morning, and click the podcast button, become one of the pod people, and listen to our Podbean podcast. You can catch it any time you like, and we've got a full rack of them in there for you to choose from, so... We appreciate our pod people. We're getting more of them all the time.
Yes, we are, and thank you for that.
Well, Diane, you took on a topic that you have really, really shied away from over the past year. COVID-19. You know, the big question now, it seems like no matter where you go, did you get a vaccination? Did you get the shot? Have you been jabbed? Well, Diane, why no jab for me? Tell us about it.
Okay. Let me begin by saying that I am not anti-vaccine, as I know well how many millions of lives vaccines have saved. I and my family have all had the required vaccines, and I would recommend getting the standard vaccine protocol, ranging from, but not limited to, the polio vaccine, the MMR series, the DPT series, the meningitis vaccine, the tetanus shot and boosters, etc., included when needed additional vaccines when one plans to travel abroad. Simply, I'm speaking of the usual barrage of FDA-approved and AMA-recommended vaccines, vaccines that have proven to be both safe and effective after years, if not decades, of testing. But here is where I have a problem with the COVID-19 vaccine, the jab, as it's now more commonly known. For while it usually takes the FDA years to formally approve a vaccine for general use, in the case of the jab, we are talking about a vaccine rushed to market in well under a year. And while I am no doctor, nor do I pretend to be one, let me start by playing doctor just for a wee bit, because sometimes having even a little learned medical knowledge does prove more beneficial to oneself and one's health than listening to Dr. Fauci spew medical lies about a vaccine not truly proven to be safe, nor even proven to be what's truly needed. So let's start with the fact that the jab does not, I repeat, not, have full FDA approval regarding effectiveness nor safety, as all three currently in use COVID vaccines, the Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna vaccines, were only given what's called, quote, limited use approval, meaning for, quote, emergency use authorization. And said emergency authorization simply means for use while the vaccines are still undergoing supposedly rigorous testing regarding their actual safety, along with the excuse for emergency use being that at this present time, as per so-called government experts, quote, there are no adequate, approved, and available alternatives. And yet, there are and always were numerous medications that have long been safely used to treat other diseases that are now proving to be highly effective against COVID-19. Medications, Craig, like ivermectin, for example, a medication kept from the public discourse by the CDC and by Dr. Fauci, simply because I believe treating COVID-19 both successfully and cost-effectively with but a simple course of pills did not meet the Democrats' well-known politically leftist, you must obey or else agenda.
Well, and when you talk about the fact that, you know, it's still undergoing quote-unquote rigorous testing, it is, but the rigorous testing is now going on inside of people's bodies.
Exactly. Okay,
we're not talking about lab rats here. We're not talking about, you know, hospitals and scientists here. We're just talking about your average person walking down the street. So given the fact that we are, you know, when I say we, I mean, you know, the collective of the United States populace, those who've gotten the jab, since we are now the experiment, so to speak, how effective is the jab really?
Well, the fact is, the COVID vaccines have not been proven to totally prevent one from getting infected. And why? Because those vaccinated can, in some cases, still infect others, as they themselves can still catch the virus, albeit presenting with much less severe symptoms than if unvaccinated, or they can even be asymptomatic, as in harboring the virus, but not showing any obvious outward symptoms of said virus. And it's this that has some in the medical profession to believe that it's vaccinated folks who could possibly be more of a threat to we unvaccinated folks than we unvaccinated folks are to vaccinated folks. A true conundrum indeed. Now, at this point, it's important to remember that most vaccines on the market today are what's called recombinant vaccines, meaning vaccines based upon either highly purified recombinant proteins, as in manipulated, meaning cloned, form of a protein used to produce large quantities of proteins via the modification of gene sequencing, which might lead to the what's called expression of a mutant protein, or said vaccines are based upon subunits of pathogens, as in minuscule amounts of an actual disease. Now read virus here, with both being used to kickstart, if you will, one's immune mechanism to help fight off a disease. However, in the case of the COVID vaccines, as I understand it, a gene is swapped from SARS-CoV-2, the virus which causes, among other things, the common cold, so that when the vaccine is given to someone, the now modified cold virus makes the SARS-CoV-2 protein, which in turn stimulates the hoped-for immune response to COVID-19. Now, Craig, that's not so cut and dry of a vaccine, is it?
No, it's not. When you put it that way, when you actually explain, you know, the reliability factor of this or the unreliability factor of
right.
it, it's really not that cut and dry. Now, there's differences. I mean, when it comes to vaccines, there's, you know,
yes.
this vaccine, that vaccine, the other vaccine. So explain a little bit what this vaccine is as opposed to what it probably should have been.
Okay, and basically it's a conundrum, folks, because while both DNA and RNA vaccines are not yet fully approved for use in we humans, why even bother to create an RNA-based COVID vaccine instead of a DNA-based vaccine? What would DNA-based vaccines currently in clinical trials proving to be easier and way more inexpensive to produce? Not only that, but a number of those clinical trials had already proven DNA-based vaccines to be effective in veterinary use, cancer, immunology therapy, and also for possible use in preventing influenza, hepatitis B and C, HPV, and malaria. And there's also the fact that it's RNA vaccines, not DNA vaccines, that might actually change an individual on a DNA level, a level which we still don't know the long-term effects of. And that's a question that should be answered, a question that even the CDC has proposed on its own website. And then there's the fact or conundrum, if you will, that while DNA and RNA-based vaccines currently being developed and tested are proving to work in a somewhat similar fashion as far as immunizing an individual is concerned, there remains key differences between the two. For example, with a DNA-based vaccine having the ability to stimulate both the humoral and cellular arms of the adapted immune system, simply as in much-needed antibody production, the virus's genetic information targeted is transmitted directly to another molecule that's called the messenger RNA, or mRNA as many have seen it, which is an additional step that RNA vaccines basically circumvent. So simply in this case, the mRNA component of said vaccine would go directly into the cell, which the cell translates into proteins, and it's these proteins that would induce an immune response. But with a DNA-based vaccine, the message would be delivered via a small electrical pulse. And it's this pulse which pushes, if you will, the message into the cell while allowing said vaccine to be very stable at much higher temperatures. And Craig, that's something today's COVID vaccines are not.
Certainly not. I mean, when you start going through all this information, some things become crystal clear, and that's one of them. So let me ask you this then. We're kind of getting down to the point here where almost a rhetorical question needs to be asked, but it still needs to be asked. Do you have to jump through flaming scientific hoops to understand that one vaccine should be much better than the other?
No. Basically, it takes simple common sense, which should dictate that all the above stated facts I just gave would make a DNA-based vaccine much safer to use than an RNA-based vaccine, especially when dealing with mass immunizations that are given over both a shorter period of time and in diverse and sometimes quite inhospitable remote locations. But even more important in regards to what is the COVID-19 politically motivated and media-generated vaccine arena is that common sense should also force one to see that anyone, even considering the jab, needs to take a step back and rethink their decision. After I tell you that the vaccines now being jabbed into the blindly following masses' arms were actually mass-produced even before clinical studies and clinical trials were completed. And the reason why, as per our government, simply to save time, get the masses vaccinated and under control, and deal with any ramifications and fallout that might arise after the fact. Now this leads me to wonder, why said fallout, as in the real number of folks who've had serious reactions, which includes a number of deaths, after not so voluntarily having rolled up their sleeves for the jab, why those have been played down by the media and by the government talking heads? Would these reactions have happened if not for the fact that the vaccines were rushed to market in an effort to try and counter what amounted to Democrat dirty political dealings, rushed to market unbeknownst to President Trump via cost-cutting but profit-producing procedures, instead of putting time-tested but more expensive safety measures into place before the first jab was even given? And it's this which has me the most worried, for when fighting a virus, especially a virus that I honestly believe was genetically manipulated and engineered for use as a bioweapon of sorts, our governmental powers that be forced upon us a rush-to-market vaccine instead of a much-needed antidote. And this sadly tells me that our government has no real intention of getting said virus truly under control. That is, unless the control mechanism itself is the government's probably soon to be mandated, who knows what's really in it, COVID-19 vaccine. And with my not being a human guinea pig ripe for leftist indoctrination picking, so too am I surely not like the proverbial lamb happily being led to slaughter. So lining up for the jab is the one line I can assure you, dear reader and dear listener, that I will never be party of, and hopefully neither will you.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people in this country that have gotten the jab already, and I'm guessing there's a lot of people that, as more information comes out, like what you've presented here, are kind of wondering now, why in the hell did I do that? Now, folks, I'm going to give you, well, wait a minute. I'm going to give people the website where they can find this, okay? And then Diane's got some breaking news regarding the jab that you probably haven't heard that'll make you want to sit down. You can find Diane's op-ed either at her blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or at rspradio1.com. Either way, you can get the link and share it, because, folks, you got to have this information. Now, you got some breaking news this morning regarding...
No, I got the reports this morning. I had to read through them. I had to do verification. Well, yeah. But a little bit before we went on air, folks, I put up a block. Some people call them a meme, but there's no pictures. This is a block of copy. And what I said in it was, uh-oh, the June edition of the International Journal of Infectious Diseases reports that the first ever post-mortem study, meaning after the person had died, of a patient vaccinated against COVID-19 showed that the viral NRA was found in every organ of the patient's body. This is the protein shedding that they said couldn't happen. This means that the vaccine is either ineffective or that the coronavirus actually spreads faster in vaccinated people. Now, I warned everybody over a year ago that what's needed is an antidote, not a vaccine. And I'm hoping folks believe me now, especially I have the report. It's called First Case of Postmortem Study in a Patient Vaccinated Against SARS-CoV-2, which is COVID-19. This was a previously symptomless man who got his dose of this is the actual name, not by the genetic Johnson & Johnson. It's called BNT162B2mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. He died 4 weeks after having his shot from acute renal and respiratory failure. Now, he didn't present with any COVID symptoms or test positive for COVID before he got the vaccine. The spike protein antigen binding showed significant levels of immunoglobulin G, while neoplasid IgG IgM was not elicited, meaning it wasn't there. Acute bronchial pneumonia and tubular fail were assigned as the cause of death at autopsy. And then when they did, going through every part of his body, when all his organs were examined, from his larynx to his olfactory mucosa, trachea, lungs, heart, kidney, and brain, it showed that the COVID shedding, the protein shedding, was everywhere in his body.
All right. So now, given all of that, okay, and the fact that this protein shedding is showing up in every single organ in his body, including the brain, the question then becomes, and again, it might sound a little flippant, it's not meant to be, are we eventually going to need an antidote for the vaccine?
We should have had an antidote to begin with.
Well, I understand that, and that's not my question. The question is, now, because the vaccine is doing things that they swore up and down that it wouldn't do, and, right, and because these proteins, because the COVID-19 proteins are now showing up in every one of this guy's organs in his body, do you think eventually they're going to come to the conclusion we've got to have an antidote for the damn vaccine?
I think they damn well better have one ready. But let's be honest here. This was originally published, and we heard not a word about it on April
16th,
2021. It was kept under wraps. Only when the main, you know, infectious disease, the International Infectious Disease Journal, got a hold of it, has it finally gotten out. Okay, now let's be honest here. This was not an American. This was a German man, but that's not the point. His nationality didn't matter. What mattered was the viral shedding in a man that did not have COVID before, took the precaution of taking the vaccine, was vaccinated, supposedly immune against it, died of COVID in the way that they said could not happen, the protein shedding.
Okay, so given that, let me pose some other things here, and you tell me if I'm hitting right on these or if I'm not.
Okay,
and these are basically side effects to the side effect. Okay, you just talked about the side effect. Let me talk about the side effect to that side effect. If this is getting into every single organ in the human body, does that not mean that somebody who has had the shot probably should not be donating their organs if they die?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, cancer people cannot donate organs upon death, because cancer cells can go all over. I would think this can also happen with people having the shot. Now, most people are not going to have a problem with it, but what if it's your family member that suddenly, oh my God, look what happens. Look what happened. They're dead. They didn't have anything before the shot, and now they're dead. And by the way, I actually have the table of this man's symptoms, how he went just from, you know, a little gastric upset over the days till he died.
Well, okay.
And it got worse and worse and worse every day. And now they're saying there's a new strain that we here in America should worry about. Of course, they're saying it because, you know, people are like pulling back a little bit. Oh, now, if you have a sore throat, if you have a headache, things that we equate a little runny nose with the common cold. It's COVID. They're pulling out their scare tactics again.
Well, they have to. But let me continue down this line of thought here. Okay. If the organs get infected because of the shot, okay, if they've got these proteins in them, what does that do to the pool of possible organs for transplant? Now, it seems to me, if we've got, let's say, 50, 60% of the American populace has been vaccinated, and I don't know that it's that high, I'm just pulling a number, okay? Seems to me that you could extrapolate that out and say, well, now maybe there's going to be 40, 50, 60% fewer organs for transplant to the people that need them.
Probably. I would think so. It makes common sense. If you can't donate, let's say a cancer patient, when they die, if you can't donate their organs, if someone dies of COVID who has had the vaccine or even just dies of COVID, because it's genetically modified and manipulated, who knows what can happen to that person getting the organ?
That's
because
my
that
point.
Organ is probably shedding proteins.
That's my point. So if you've got a family member, a loved one, a friend, somebody that's on an organ transplant list, they're waiting for an organ. It might be a kidney. It might be lungs. It might be a heart transplant. You know, whatever the case may be, if they're on that list, there is now a much higher potential that they're going to have to wait on that list a lot longer. Some people can't.
Right.
Okay. Some people
are going to die.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing. We don't know. We're not saying 100% sure that there would be a problem down the road. The problem is, nobody knows whether there would be or whether there won't be, because this is all brand new stuff.
And it's being kept from the public. How many people out there, if this report had been made to the public on April 16th, when it was first published, how many people would have said, whoa, no jab for me?
A lot more would have if they had all this information.
And I wonder how long Fauci has known about this.
I bet you he's known it since day one. I mean, it stands to reason that he would know this. I mean, this is the stuff that's been coming out. He certainly isn't talking about it. The CDC certainly isn't talking about it. You know, none of the official government ABCDEFG agencies are talking about. The only way we're finding this stuff out is because real doctors, not Fauci doctors, real doctors,
right,
real scientists, not Fauci scientists, are now looking into this, and they now have some information to go on. What they're finding, they're putting out. Now, if you're waiting for the mainstream media to get a hold of this and put it out there, you're going to wait a long time. Okay? And right, that's why I'm telling you, because we're getting right up here to the top of the hour. You want to go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com, and you want to get the link to this op-ed, Why No Jab for Me? This needs to be shared everywhere, and I mean everywhere.
And I'm probably going to follow it up, not for next week, but for the week after. I'm going to be getting in more information about this supposed scary new COVID that's coming, and I'll probably talk a little bit more about this report. It's very scary when you read it and you see this man's decline.
Yeah, and maybe
what happened on day 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to the 40 days or 4 weeks that it took for him to pass. This is scary, folks.
Maybe in that article, you know, a couple of weeks down the road, you can provide a link to that report on that guy's autopsy.
I posted it under my block on Facebook, but Facebook doesn't let my stuff get out a lot.
Well, you know, that's why I'm saying, put it in an
I'll
op-ed.
I'll put it in the article, article, yeah.
Yeah, and then we can refer people to that. But that's news that came out today, folks, so you're hearing it for the first time right here on Right Side Patriots.
Yeah, and it's all right. Scary.
Top of the hour, got to take a break, get a couple of station IDs in, and when we come back, wokeism, dividing America. Stay with us, more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. One more segment of the show to go tonight. And then we wait for Friday and see what happens. Friday, you know, anything can happen on Friday shows. Yes. Absolutely anything. So you just got to stand by and wait. We have no idea what Friday might bring us. But for now, we need to get back into this show. A week ago tonight, I did a commentary on wokeism. Okay, I called it systemic wokeism. Right?
Right.
Now, I knew there was more to the story. A wonderful lady by the name of Pam got a hold of me. In that op-ed from or commentary from a week ago, I focused a lot of attention on Loudoun County, Virginia. Well, she lives right across the beltway from Loudoun County, Virginia, and she's got relatives in Loudoun County whose kids go to school in Loudoun County, and that's kind of the ground zero for all this wokeism crap for the moment, all right? Mm-hmm. And I knew there was more to the story than what I was able to get my hands on in a relatively short amount of time, and thanks to Pamela, I got a lot more information. So, this is the follow-up to last week's article, Wokeism Dividing America. Last week, as I said, I wrote a commentary with the title Systemic Wokeism, and I knew there was more to the story than I was able to find quickly. There usually is when it comes to the devious nature of the liberal Marxist agenda. Now, before I bring you more of the story, allow me to first explain why systemic wokeism is so high on the liberal Marxist agenda and why they're going all in on it at such an accelerated pace. More often than not, liberals have been patient with their adverse and abjectly anti-American agenda. For decades, they've implemented bits and pieces of it slowly into the nation's subconscious before they build it into bits and pieces into something that becomes much more difficult to reverse. That is no longer the case, and I believe it lends credence to the notion that Obama is behind the curtain pulling the strings while Biden and Harris dance like puppets. Obama spent 8 years trying to fundamentally transform America, but he failed to get the job finished. It didn't sit well with him. Hillary was to have finished that transformation while Obama served his unelected third term with her as the facade, but Trump got in the way. President Trump, in just 4 years, reestablished our nation as a force with which to be reckoned on the world stage, and he reset our national economy into high gear. Trump restored much of the freedoms we had lost over decades of bits and pieces of liberal-led agenda items by removing regulations, lowering taxes, and encouraging American exceptionalism, all anathemas to the liberal dream of a society completely dependent on the government for its every need. That's why it became so important to keep Trump from a second term. They tried and failed twice to manufacture fake dirt with which to impeach Trump, and he just continued to succeed. In my opinion, they had to rig the 2020 election to make sure Obama could finally get his third term, now with Biden as the blathering, dancing puppet. Now, Diane, the fact is that liberal Marxist machine is still trying to ruin Trump. The fact that the liberal Marxists of social media are censoring Trump, and the fact that the liberal Marxist propaganda arm, also known as the mainstream media, is pushing the absurd narrative swirling around the transparently false claims that America is systemically racist and the equally absurd notion that there are some 57 different genders is proof that they have a deep fear that Trump will rise from the ashes in 2024 to make America great again, again.
Well, really, you know, they're worried about 2024, but I think they also need to worry about 2022. That's coming before, and that could, you know, work in our favor. We could retake the Senate, we could retake the House, and then they're dead in the water. Biden or Harris, who's ever president, then becomes literally an impotent figurehead.
It's true. They know their time and power in the halls of Congress is in serious peril. You see, they can no longer afford to take their time, to be patient, or to implement their hideous agenda in bits and pieces. Systemic wokeism is something they need to divide our nation to the point where it no longer functions. By literally brainwashing our nation's children using liberal Marxist teachers who've been indoctrinated themselves as the result of those bits and pieces approach over the past several decades to indoctrinate as many children from kindergarten through college as possible, as fast as possible, is their only hope of manufacturing the divisiveness they seek. Red state versus blue state divisiveness, political line divisiveness, even divisiveness between families and between children who have thusly been indoctrinated and their parents who actually live in a world of reality. Those are the divisions that will tear apart the very fabric of our nation and force the fundamental transformation of America that Obama and liberal Marxist machine really need in order to maintain their power over the will of the people. Okay. Last week in Systemic Wokeism, I highlighted Loudoun County, Virginia, but by no means is the weapon of wokeism being wielded solely in that place. I said that the two major targets of liberal Marxist wokeism are gender and race, and to that end, CRT, critical race theory, and all the gender nonsense are at center stage. The Loudoun County School District is trying to indoctrinate students into believing there are more than two genders and that boys who pretend to be girls or vice versa should be accepted and coddled, and that any students or teachers who feel otherwise should be canceled. As to CRT, that school district is indoctrinating students to believe that being white is inherently, intrinsically, genetically, and systemically racist. Any students or teachers disagreeing with that are also to be canceled. The first to be canceled was teacher Tanner Cross, who was suspended for not playing along with the gender issue. He was later reinstated, but only after a judge told the school board that they would likely lose in court because that trampled on Mr. Cross's First Amendment rights. He is still a teacher, for now, until the end of December, when he'll be up for review. Diane, that school district's policies are, I suspect, much the same as policies in school districts across the country. But if you happen to live in a red state or a conservative area, do not get complacent. Know that a majority of your education administrators from grade school through college, as well as the overwhelming vast majority of teachers, are deep blue liberals or liberal Marxists, and they are pushing this indoctrination crap even against any stated curriculum.
Well, didn't the county right across the Beltway send out an email to parents about what was going to happen in their schools? And this has set the whole anti-wokeism, anti-critical race theory into motion?
Yes, it has. We're talking about Anne Arundel County, Maryland. Okay. Their email that they sent out really outlined their school district's plans. And I'm just brushing up on the surface of this here. Okay. Here's a few of what they put in. This is actually from their email. Review curriculum with a culturally responsive lens, reflecting all types of diversity and diverse perspectives, and revise as necessary. Number two, evaluate curriculum using an equity lens for all student populations. Use disregarded data to determine where inequities may exist and make changes to the curriculum and assessment. Number three, continue professional development focused on culturally responsive teaching, implicit bias, anti-racism, anti-oppressive behaviors towards students, and relationship development with students and families. Number four, provide equity training to PTAs. Number five, attract more teachers, administrators, and staff to Anne Arundel County, so that by 2030, our faculty and staff represent the diversity of our students. And finally, provide support for leaders to hire equity-minded people by using an interviewing checklist. Now, do you see anything there regarding science, math, literature, or any other field of study that one would expect a school district to be focused upon? I sure don't. This is not about teaching children. This is about indoctrinating them into a political ideology. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with teaching children how to think, but everything to do with telling them what to think. So let me just highlight a couple of these, okay? Provide equity training to PTAs. That means that the liberal Marxist machine is not out just to indoctrinate the children. They also intend to indoctrinate the parents of those children through the parent-teacher association. Then there's this. Attract more teachers, administrators, and staff to Anne Arundel County so that by 2030, our faculty and staff represent the diversity of our students. Seems pretty clear to me that what they intend here is over the next 9 years to only hire woke teachers, administrators, and staff in Anne Arundel County, Maryland. That means within a decade, children from kindergarten through high school will never see a teacher, never sit in a classroom with a teacher, never hear from a teacher who isn't 100% hell-bent on shoving this wokeism crap down their throats and into their impressionable minds. Are you getting this, folks? They intend to turn out an entire generation indoctrinated and primed to vote for the agenda of liberal Marxism, who will also be at war culturally and ideologically with their parents and with anybody else they come across who isn't woke. Diane, you have to notice, they never directly mention critical race theory or the crazy gender stuff, but instead use words like equity and diversity. But they're not really even trying to hide it.
No. And the main thing that they are not trying to hide, I should say, is wokeism and critical race theory are actually an agenda to teach hate and prejudices where they never existed before.
Dividing
These
America.
Are prejudices that they have made up to push forward their political agenda. This is about hate. We can control the people through hate.
It's about dividing America.
Exactly.
That's why I titled this the way I did. But let me continue here. At the University of Maryland, which is an asylum of higher indoctrination, we find this in their descriptions, okay? Increase the number of black faculty, staff, teaching assistants, administrators, and advisors at the university. Making racial bias training mandatory for all students, faculty, staff, administrators, health professionals, and student organizations. Training should include history of racial bias, impacts of racial trauma, and critical examinations, how racism impacts one's life and their counterparts. Immediate response to hate speech or actions from the university, including a consequence, e.g., mark on the transcript or potential suspension. Prioritizing minority enrollment by doubling the current enrollment of black students from Prince George County and D.C. by 2025. Create an oversight committee that evaluates and sanctions faculty members who have allegedly taken part in any discriminatory behavior toward undergraduate and graduate students, and implementation of evaluations pertaining to diversity and inclusivity for each course to be completed by students every semester. This is in regards to specific colleges and the university as a whole, and the result of these evaluations should be published for transparency. So what do we see here? Well, they intend to prioritize minority enrollment by doubling the current enrollment of black students from Prince George County and D.C. by 2035. That is based entirely on skin color, not grades, not qualifications, and implementation of evaluations pertaining to diversity and inclusivity for each course to be completed by students every semester. That's not based on what a student learns regarding a course subject matter. It's based entirely on how woke a student is coming out of any class. Then there's this. Immediate response to hate speech or actions from the university, including a consequence, e.g., mark on the transcript or potential suspension. That is designed to make wokeism at the University of Maryland the educational equivalent of the Borg on Star Trek The Next Generation. Resistance is futile. You can read the University of Maryland document. I've got a link to it. You can read the one from Anne Arundel County. I've got a link to that. They're both in my blog. So trust me, I have just scratched the surface here with these two documents, and I'm sure that should you decide to have a look at such recommendations from your school districts and your universities, you would find much the same. But if it's not, don't forget who and what your teachers are, because they are the ones pushing this wokeism crap, whether or not it's written down. Diane, I suspect the day is quickly coming when state universities will no longer accept students who've been homeschooled or have gone to a private school, because those entities are kryptonite to the liberal Marxist wokeism agenda, and that's a primary reason why today's elected liberal Marxists have canceled President Trump's school choice program. They're counting on the fact that most people cannot afford private schools or homeschool options.
Again, this is all about hate. And here's a question for you, Craig. They want, you know, inclusion. They want equal amounts of black teachers, white teachers, black students, white students, et cetera, in these colleges and universities. Pray tell, how are they going to do that when blacks make up only 12.4% of the population?
Well, yeah. I mean, does it really represent the school? it certainly doesn't represent the national population.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and if you're hiring based on skin color and based on gender, not on qualifications and not on merits, well, to me, you got a real problem there.
Well, and okay? That's what they're trying to shove down our throats.
Well, you see the problem, I see the problem, and thankfully, we're seeing students and parents and even a few teachers beginning to see the problem and take a stand against the agenda of wokeism. But, so far, not enough. That is why the liberal Marxist machine is so desperate to implement this nonsense as fast as they can. This isn't about diversity, it's about creating division. It's not about equality, it's about equity, and those are two very different things. This wokeism agenda is about tearing this country apart, tearing it down, and fundamentally transforming America into a liberal Marxist nation of mind-numbed robots. The intent is to release upon society a plague of locusts, dumber than bricks, but woke to bejesus, who will simply do whatever their government masters tell them to do and rely on their government masters from cradle to grave. My advice, do not be woke. Be awake.
This whole thing is, it's a form of child abuse in a way, mental mm-hmm. child abuse. It is an insult to the Constitution. It is an insult to our founders and framers. It's an insult to every single red-blooded American out there. It's an insult to Democrats, to Republicans, to blacks, to whites, to every color in between. This is just pure indoctrination for control. And the only way you can get that control is to manufacture hate and divisiveness. And that's what this woke nonsense is doing.
That's exactly what it's doing. There's no doubt about it. When you go through this stuff and you read this stuff, you're just like, holy crap. You know, it used to be you couldn't get into a good college if you didn't do it on merit, if you didn't do it on your right. grades. You know, if you weren't a top-notch student, you are going to get turned down. Now, they even admit in here, it's not about your merits, it's not about your grades, it's about a checklist.
Right. Do you meet a liberal checklist? And that's not, you know, conducive to education. What our schools need to do is go back to reading, writing, arithmetic, science, literature. We need to teach, not to indoctrinate. There's a huge difference.
There is. And when you look at that document from Anne Arundel County, and there's a lot more to it than what I read off, but when you see in there that they will provide support for leaders to hire equity-minded people by using an interviewing checklist. Not about merits. It's not about how good of an educator they are. It's not about how successful they've been in other schools educating children. It's about whether they check off the list.
Yeah, and if people don't know the area well, Loudoun County and the other county, those are suburbs of Washington, D.C. They're off the Beltway. The Beltway circles Washington. Okay. We are talking about leaving Washington, D.C., going over one little bridge, and you're in these counties. These are predominantly, overwhelmingly liberal counties. But now you see even some of the liberal parents saying, wait a minute, this isn't right here. This is not what we're sending our children to school for.
Well, and
it makes it seem like there's a little hope of possibly stopping this thing, but it has to become a nationwide movement to do so.
It really does. Now, just like you had some updates on your op-ed tonight, mm-hmm. I've got a couple updates on this one.
Okay.
Tanner Cross, the teacher that was suspended in Loudoun County, and then was reinstated because a judge told the Loudoun County School District, if he goes to trial with this, you're probably going to lose.
Okay? Right.
The school district has now decided to press forward with his suspension.
I figured they would.
Okay.
Because they're being told they have to.
That the machine is telling them, you can't have a teacher like this. Okay. So that's one thing. Now, yesterday, we heard from a woman. She is a refugee from North Korea.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And she is now living in this country. She managed to escape North Korea, which is near on to impossible to do. She has said, yeah, she and her mother, she says that this wokeism stuff is nuttier than anything they had in North Korea. That's how dangerous this is. She said this is more dangerous than the way they used to do things in North Korea.
It is, because what they're doing is they're not only indoctrinating, but they're taking away free thought. No one can have an independent thought. That even goes beyond indoctrination. Oh. You can indoctrinate something into someone, trying to get them to believe something, but if they still have free will to free think, they don't have to accept that indoctrination. But with this wokeism nonsense and this critical race theory nonsense, you have to accept it or else.
Well, and, you know, there is a scientific term for that that really does kind of apply here. It's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes, Stockholm, the victim syndrome. Yes.
Yeah. They're going to turn these people into victims. And they're going to eventually make these kids grow up to be adults that rely on the very government that polluted their mind to begin with.
Exactly.
You know,
this is dangerous stuff. This, you think Common Core was bad? This is it to the nth degree.
Well, and like I said, they've got to do this rapidly. They know they're running out of time.
Yeah.
And they've got to get this stuff in there. They can't do it in the bits and pieces like they've done so many other things. You know, they've got to just rush to this because they've got to get America so divided that it can't be fixed.
Anything can be fixed if you have leaders that are willing to pick up the sword, basically, and fight for what's right. There are some parents now doing that. There are some politicians now doing it, but it needs to go nationwide. The thing is, okay, like our governor here in Florida already said no to this nonsense. There's no 1619, that nonsense being taught. There's no critical race theory being taught in our schools. None of that is being taught. So here it is. Okay, you take our state out of the mix. I think Texas is the same way. A few other states are also following suit. But it can't be these isolated states. We have to have a movement across the country that say no to this crap.
Starts in your local school district, folks. Find out what they're doing. Get their documents and let them hear from you. You know, and if you can't get satisfaction there, take it up a notch. Take it to your state. But, you know, and if you have to, you know, come down hard on the schools. Pull your kids out. You know, I mean, this is a dangerous thing that they're dealing with, and they know it. They know it.
This is not the United States of America anymore. This isn't even a Russia or anything like that. Don't even equate it to that.
No.
This is pure, unadulterated mind control.
That's it. So, be aware, folks. You can find my commentary today at thenationalpatriot.com or by going to rspradio1.com. Either way, you can get the link. And either way, I hope you do, and I hope you share it. Just as I hope you go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Grab the link to Diane's op-ed today, Why No Jab for Me? Get these articles out there. These are two of the most important things you're going to hear probably all week. And believe me, we're both going to be probably following up on this with even more as more becomes available.
Right. And next week we're going to go pretty heavy into two other things as well.
Yeah. What are you doing next week?
The rise in anti-Semitism in America.
Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going into this race baiting stuff. Okay? In a way you probably never thought anybody ever would. But I don't care, because I'm not the mainstream media.
No, and neither am I.
And there is a heavy dose of snark in it.
Okay.
Okay? So beware. Okay. But with that, Diane, we've gotten all the way to the end of the show tonight.
Yes, we have.
Tell everybody goodnight, Diane.
Time to say goodnight. Nighty-night, folks.
Goodnight, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll see you on Friday.